Chapter 111. Do not drag her into this MM, Benedict acknowledged with a nod, then proceeded to offer Callista a few cautious reminders before departing the room. Throughout this whole episode, Callista's face remained utterly expressionless, as though her facial muscles had completely frozen in place. Noticing her blank stare, Yelena hesitated before offering a strained smile and saying, "Callie, would you like some fruit? I can fetch some for you." She moved toward the fruit basket beside the bed as she spoke. Upon hearing this, Callista replied somewhat curtly, "I'm hungry, I want some oatmeal instead." Yelena's face tensed up a bit, and with a tinge of irritation, she responded, "The hospital arranges nutritious meals for patients, and yours should be arriving soon." But Callista was adamant, "I want the shrimp and cheddar oatmeal from Fortune Lodge right now. Please go and get it for me." Yelena was startled by Callista's forthrightness in making such a demand, her fists clenched as she fought the urge to retort. She faintly recalled the doctor advising Benedict that Callista shouldn't consume seafood at this time as it could cause severe abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. Given the dietary restrictions, Benedict had specifically requested a nutritious meal from the hospital. With a cunning glint in her eye, Yelena thought, "I'm not about to harm Callista intentionally. If Callista insists on having that particular meal, then so be it. All right. Just wait here, I'll go fetch it for you." With a show of reluctance, Yelena exited the room. Once outside, she instructed her driver to handle the errand while she took the opportunity to visit a beauty salon. It had been some time since she last impaired herself, and she wondered if perhaps Benedict's recent lack of interest was due to her. After Yelena's departure, a nurse came in to bring the meal to Callista. Callista thanked her, and as the nurse bowed her head to leave, Callista suddenly struck, knocking her unconscious with a swift move. It was fortunate the nurse was a young woman. Had it been a man, Callista doubted she would have had the strength for such an action. Quickly, Callista changed into the nurse's clothes, donned a mask, and made her exit. She was determined to see for herself what exactly was happening with Callum. "He better not disappoint me, or else. Call, please have some to eat," Mirabelle said, her expression troubled. She possessed large, almond-shaped eyes that radiated pure beauty, and at that moment, her slightly furrowed brows made her appear as though she had been wronged. Callum, with his eyes closed, felt a surge of revulsion. He had never liked Mirabelle's frail and delicate demeanor. His improved treatment of her was solely out of gratitude for her role in saving him. But now, even that was under scrutiny. Considering the situation with Xander, Mirabelle did not strike him as noticing her persistent care. A mischievous smile crept onto Callum's face. "I wonder if Mirabelle would continue to show such concern if she knew about the K-virus the contracted. Mr. Callum, it's time for your medication," Sean informed him, his hands filled with a variety of about a dozen different pills. It seemed Callum was practically living on medication rather than food at this point. Mirabelle appeared skeptical, feigning innocence as she inquired, "Old Mr. Yancey, Mr. Callum has only a gunshot wound, why does he need so many medications and such intensive treatment every day?" Sean shot her a brief look. "Are you the one treating him or am I? Do you really think you know better than a medical professional?" His blunt retort left Mirabelle's face cycling through various shades of pallor. She pursed her lips and fell silent, shocked by the audacity of the Mir family doctor to speak so bluntly. After the confrontation, Callum took his medicine. The virus inside him had flared up fiercely, leaving him vulnerable. The virus, coupled with the recent gunshot, had nearly ended his life on Mount Goldfall. Yet, despite everything, Callum held on. After Callum's secret returned to the country, Sean made an astonishing discovery. A needle had begun to protrude from Callum's chest. Sean recognized the needle as one Callista had inserted, initially believed to be an energy-locking needle. But now, he realized it was actually a heart needle, designed to preserve life in critical moments, far exceeding the usual duration of effectiveness due to the skill of its administration. Yet, Callum had explicitly instructed him not to seek out Callista, insisting on keeping his previous act of saving her and foregoing the administration of the antibody confidential. He had forbidden any mention of it, to the point that even Callista was unaware of who had risked everything to save her. A. Callum swallowed his pills, Sean sighed, once again advising him, that person is incredibly capable, could just bring her in, perhaps, there might be a chance. Callum cut him off with a slight purse of his lips and a sidelong glance. How old is she? Do you not understand my situation? His gaze dimmed. Let's not drag another person into this. He was clear in his message. He didn't believe Callista could overcome the formidable K-virus. Moreover, anyone close to him would be at significant risk. He feared for Callista, not wanting her to face the same fate. Everyone infected with the K-virus was fated to die within a month. Despite all efforts by the Fairchilds to treat him and extend his life, his demise could occur at any time. He wished for no one, especially not the woman he deeply loved, to witness his tragic end. Chapter 112. The Lady of the House. Truly, he was profoundly in love. This was a man who had always put his own needs first, but now, for the first time, he was acting in selfless silence. Callum never imagined a day when he would go to such lengths for someone else. He harbored a hope that if she ever felt let down by him, the news of his demise wouldn't burden her with too much grief. Callista, I truly like you. Meanwhile, Callista had made her way to the Fairchild Manor. Callum was not at the hospital as anticipated. His injuries, while notable, were not severe enough to warrant continued hospitalization, so he was recuperating at home. The journey there left Callista with a heavy feeling in her head. As if on CUC with her somber mood, the sky opened up, a gentle rain beginning to fall, which only intensified her feelings of feverishness. The dreary, rainy weather carried with it the chill of early autumn, seeping coldly into the bones. Clad in a stark white coat, Callista seemed even more delicate under the somber skies. Her complexion was ghostly pale as she stood at the entrance of the Fairchild Manor, her shoes noticeably ill-fitting. Strangely, the usually bustling manor was now unsettlingly quiet, a stark contrast to its usual liveliness. As Callista approached, a security guard noticed her and moved to intercept her. However, she quickly slipped off a thumb ring. No need to announce me, I'll go in myself. Upon recognizing the ring that marked her as the lady of the house, the guard stepped aside, not daring to hurry her entry. The housekeepers they passed gave her odd, almost respectful glances. Callista found their essence curious but pressed on to Callum's room without incident. The manor was without the presence of Wanda and Silas, and it seemed unusually understaffed today. Lacking the usual bustling activity. Only a few older, more loyal housekeepers were in sight. Has something happened to the Fairchilds? Callista remembered, in her previous life, after Callum's return, he had been bedridden for months. Could it really be just a minor ailment? Why is he not in a hospital, but at home? Is Callum doing okay? With these questions swirling in her mind, Callista reached Callum's door, poised to knock. Yet, the sound of a woman's voice inside halted her hand in mid-air. "Kal, you're truly incredible. I absolutely adore the Seventh Symphony by Valmont. I heard it was lost long ago. How did you manage to find it?" Her hand, previously ready to knock, now clenched into a fist at her side, trembling slightly as she fought to contain her emotions. The same gentle voice continued, seemingly unaware of the turmoil outside the door. "Kal, what's wrong? You like, I'll find it for you. You're truly amazing," Call the woman's voice was filled with joyful satisfaction. Even without seeing her, one could imagine her blushing with bashful happiness at her own words. While Callum spoke, he was inwardly waiting, hoping Callista would just leave. A bittersweet ache filled his heart, a mixture of sorrow and intensity, as he struggled to speak those words. "Let it be. Detest me, forget me. As long as I keep my distance, there'll be no danger. And when I'm gone, she won't feel a thing." But Callista did not leave. Though she wasn't speaking, Callum could feel her presence just outside the door. He suddenly spoke again, addressing the other woman. "Mirabelle, I heard, you have a thing for me." Mirabelle was startled, her cheeks flushing with embarrassment. "Is he really giving me a chance? I've been waiting for this moment for years. Is it finally coming true, Kal?" Her voice was tinged with surprise but quickly shaded by melancholy. "What does it matter if I like you, or if I don't? You're engaged to Callie, and she's my good friend. I won't interfere with you two. I wish you both well." The words seemed to weigh heavily on her, embodying the struggle of wanting to avoid hurting a friend while suppressing her own feelings and extending her wishes for their happiness. Another man might have felt pity or sympathy for her. However, Callum felt only revulsion. Nonetheless, he had to maintain the facade. "Feelings are selfish. If you had feelings for me, you should have fought for it. If you chose to give up because of Callista, then the title of the Lady of the House..." His words trailed off as an abrupt loud bang rupted him. The door flew open with a kick from Callista, whose temper seemed to be worsening, a newfound penchant for kicking doors evident. Her damp, long hair framed her face, her frame pale and thin, but her eyes blazed with a piercing cold glare. A slight smile curved her red lips as she burst into laughter. "What did you just say? I accidentally interrupted you, feel free to continue." "Callie." Mirabelle gasped, taken aback. Though she had heard that Callista had changed, this was far beyond her expectations. When Callista's gaze swept over him, Callum felt as if something sharp had grazed his skin, causing a sensation of pain. Time apart had transformed Callista significantly. However, Mirabelle was a woman of many talents and quickly adapted to the situation. Rushing over, she expressed concern, "Callie, are you okay? How come you're all drenched? You could get sick." Chapter 113. Do you still love me? Click. Why did you push me? 91% push. Callista didn't respond. Mirabelle had employed these tactics before, but Callista no longer had the patience for such games. Seeing her silent, Mirabelle lowered her gaze, her cheeks flushed with embarrassment as she nervously twisted her sleeve. "I understand, you overheard me at the door, didn't you? I do have feelings for Kal, and I have for a very long time. But I know he's yours, I never meant to take him from you. Just being able to watch him from afar is enough for me." "Click, you've misunderstood me." Had it been the old Callista, she might have been at a loss for words, her frustration bubbling up silently. But now, seeing Mirabelle's flawless act, both Callista and Callum could only feel a wave of revulsion. "Are you done talking? If you're finished, then leave. You have no place here anymore." Callista's words were cold and precise, each one hitting its mark as she stared directly into Mirabelle's eyes. Mirabelle was taken aback, never having expected Callista to confront her so boldly. She was momentarily speechless, her face burning red with embarrassment. Callum looked at Callista intensely, his eyes tracing the contours of her face as if trying to peer into her soul. "How could you speak to Mirabelle like that?" "Apologize to her," he commanded, his voice deep and unreadable. However, Mirabelle perceived this as the man standing up for her. She rose quickly, a look of confusion on her face. "Kal, don't be upset with Callie, she just misunderstood. Even though we were together every day, nothing happened. You need to clarify this to her quickly." Her plea was tinged with desperation, as she attempted to highlight her innocence while subtly emphasizing her closeness to him. Hashtag lamed nothing happened, but her words seemed to unintentionally flaunt her unique position. Ravel hadn't changed, she was still an expert at provoking others, using her supposed naivete to underscore her sophistication. Callista and Callum locked eyes, each assessing the other. Under heavy scrutiny, Callum found it difficult to look away, but his response was chillingly indifferent. "Why should I explain anything? What is she to me?" he asked flatly. Mirabelle, inwardly thrilled, jumped into the conversation. "She's your fiancée." She addressed Callista with a pretense of urgency, her face a picture of innocence. "Callie, you've got it all wrong. I didn't mean to fall for Kal. But nothing happened between him and me, at most, I'll never mention my feelings for him again. Callie, please forgive me," Callum cut in, "why not say it? If you like someone, why not express it?" His gaze remained intensely fixed on Callista, each word seemingly advocating for Mirabelle's boldness, yet his eyes never left Callista. Perhaps after today, Callista would vanish from his life forever. This might be the last time he would see her face, hear her voice. The thought caused a pang of regret to stir within him. Callum wished someone would take Callista to change out of her rain-soaked clothes, yet he knew the angrier she became, the more she would grow to despise him, the more likely she would erase him from her memory. So, he remained still, his face a mask of indifference, convinced his expression betrayed nothing of his inner turmoil. Mirabelle's heart soared. Is Callan suggesting that if I like him, I should boldly declare it? Is this a sign? Kal, Mirabelle stood there, chit-ching her dress, her demeanor a mixture of shyness, surprise, and guilt. See, can I really say that like you? She asked, her voice faltering. Upon realizing her forwardness, she glanced at Callista, her eyes brimming with tears. Callie, I'm sorry. You're my best friend, and I shouldn't have done this, but I really like Call. I couldn't help myself. If you must blame someone, blame me, not him. It's all my fault. Callista felt a surge of frustration. If it weren't for her shield of icy indifference, Mirabelle might have already grasped her hand, perpetuating her deceitful act. She turned to Mirabelle, her voice laced with puzzlement. How on earth did you manage to do it? What? Mirabelle was caught off guard by Callista's abrupt question, responding without thinking. Callista glanced at Callum, utterly bewildered. How did you manage to do it? To claim you're my best friend in my presence, yet fall for my fiancé. And you expect me to forgive your uncontrollable emotions? Do you want to play the victim while maintaining your innocence? The room instantly fell into a deathly silence. Mirabelle was stunned, Callista's blunt accusation resonating in front of Callum. Callista chuckled sophily, a hint of mockery twinkling in her starry eyes. You're fond of this man, yet you drugged him to end up in my bed, just to make him despise me. Mirabelle, you're quite audacious. Are you so confident that a man who has been with me can escape so easily? Sta's words escalated in intensity, leaving Mirabelle speechless, and even Callum found himself at a loss for words. Drugged? I didn't. Callie, you dash. Regardless of Mirabelle's frantic explanations, Callista had lost all interest in listening. She stepped towards Callum, each stride resonating with a thunderous silence. With every step, Callum felt an overwhelming sense of exposure, as if there was nowhere left to hide. Chapter 114. You belong to me. He fixed his gaze on Callista intently, his Adam's apple bobbing noticeably. His heart was a tumultuous sea of conflicting emotions, swirling with joy and anguish. Yet he found himself utterly incapable of articulating this complex surge of feelings. He was struggling internally, yet unable to resist the magnetic pull of her presence. As she approached the bed, Callum wrestled with his inner turmoil, swallowing down the sweetness and bitterness alike, forcing himself to adopt an expression of disdain. He was on the verge of speaking, but Callista preempted him. Looking down at him, her eyes were scrutinizing yet detached, resembling a divine being passing judgment on a wayward soul pleading for redemption. So, what about you? Her voice, cool and collected, cut through the tension. Her lips, an intense shade of vibrant red, stood out starkly against her disheveled appearance, adding to her imposing aura. Despite the chaos of her look, her beauty was almost confrontationally intense. Her piercing gaze seemed to delve deep into the recesses of his heart. Daringly, she reached out and lifted Callum's chin with a flippant and audaciously defiant gesture. The moment her icy fingertips made contact with Callum's skin, a shiver coursed through his body. He raised his head to meet her gaze, which had shifted unexpectedly into a bewitching smile. "Once you've touched my body, you belong to me. Are you planning to run away?" All attempts at speech abandoned him. His body trembled with a mix of apprehension and allure, his soul irresistibly drawn into the depths of her captivating gaze. Callum was hopelessly ensnared. "Don't want to flee. Instead, I want to dive into madness with her, to indulge in the most profound earthly delights. You once told me, you liked me," Callista whispered in a husky tone. It was as if the crisis she had just faced seemed transient, a mere flash in the pan. As she reined in her laughter, a hint of bitterness unexpectedly lingered at the corners of her mouth. Her fingers transitioned from a gentle poke to a firm pinch, yet even at this moment, she seemed reluctant to release him. Was it because he was the man she could never truly possess, in this lifetime or any other? "Tell me, do you still have feelings for me?" Callista asked once more. Her tone was imbued with an unprecedented level of gravity. "I do like you." Callum was completely taken by the woman before him. She was an intoxicating blend of contrasts, cold balance. After a prolonged pause, the light in Callista's eyes began to dim, as if the stars themselves were being extinguished, replaced by a deep, dark void. Since he offered no reply, it was time for her to seek confirmation in the most direct manner possible. Callista lowered her head and covered his lips with hers. Callum's eyes widened slightly. This was the warmth he had yearned for, a touch of coolness, a hint of a chilly fragrance. In the next second, Callum suddenly gripped Callista tightly. Just as she thought he would draw her into his embrace, as he had done countless times before, he pushed her away with considerable force, his expression tinged with fear. Callista, already frail, was sent sprawling onto the ground. It was reminiscent of her previous life where she had exhausted all her efforts to prove her fidelity, while he had regarded her with cold indifference. "Is it possible that in my previous life," the look in his eyes was not one of anxious concern but of scorn and humiliation? "He simply doesn't care about me. Not in my previous life, not now. He had always been like this. Even my kiss was met with such rejection." "Well done, Callum. Well played." When Callum saw her fall, he instinctively leaned forward, his face etched with concern, but Callista, head bowed, missed seeing this reaction. The K virus was notorious for its high contagion, spreading most effectively through bodily fluids, which explained why Callum's reaction had been so vehement. Callista, immobilized by a dense cloud of despair, seemed to be enveloped by her darkest thoughts. It was evident that once she managed to stand, her feelings for him would be irrevocably altered. Despite having orchestrated the scenario to protect her, the reality of witnessing her detachment was agonizing for Callum. His heart was suffused with a mixture of emotions, each beat resonating with a subdued pain. Neath the blanket, his hand clenched in a tight fist before gradually relaxing. He knew he must resist the to reach out to her. Revealing the full extent of his affliction would only serve to magnify her anguish. Should he choose to disclose everything, given Callista's devoted nature, she would undoubtedly remain by his side until the bitter end. However, the unpredictability of the situation weighed heavily on him. In Lost Aria, the virus had shown its ruthless efficiency when several infected soldiers inadvertently transmitted the K-virus to 7 caregivers in just one day, leading to their immediate execution by the local authorities. Callum had barely escaped such a fate, managing to return to his homeland just in time to avoid detection. Subsequently, he secluded himself at home, haunted by the fear of harming others, particularly Callista. As Callum pushed Callista away, Mirabelle's heart swelled with concealed pleasure. She believed the allure Callista had just shown would have ensnared any other man. Callum's rejection was therefore a clear indication to her that, regardless of Callista's transformations, he remained unmoved by her charms. With a veneer of sympathy, Mirabelle approached Callista, her voice laced with feigned remorse. "Callie. I'm so sorry, truly sorry. Please don't be angry with Kal, this is all my fault." Her insinuations painted the picture that Callum's rejection of Callista was motivated by his regard for. At that moment, Callista felt her temperature rising, her mind swirling with dizziness. She had summoned every ounce of her strength to confront Callum for answers, but now, utterly drained, she found herself powerless to rise from where she had fallen. Moreover, Callum stood by, merely observing. Callista made a silent vow. "I'll remember this." With a swift movement, she shrugged off Mirabelle's hand, her disgust palpable. Chapter 115. Done with this man. Mirabelle, however, didn't care. The more Callista found her annoying, the more opportunities she saw for herself. And so, Mirabelle continued to hold her hand. "Callie, you can hit me or scold me if you're angry. Just don't be so hard on yourself. How about I help you up?" As Mirabelle latched onto Callista again, a chill flashed in the latter's eyes. She pulled her hand free and slapped Mirabelle across the face, leaving her dazed for quite a while. Callum opened his mouth, seemingly willing to let Callista vent her anger. "How dare you hit me?" A flash of resentment sparked in Mirabelle's eyes. This was the first time someone had hit her. However, she couldn't cause trouble due to her image. Instead, she covered her face, and in an instant, large tears began to fall, making her look incredibly pitiful. "You've changed, Callie. You used to, didn't you, say it was okay for me to hit you and scold you?" Struggling somewhat, Callista gradually rose to her feet. At that moment, she showed no signs of frailty. Instead, she exuded an icy chill, a cold indifference that could not be dispelled. Mirabelle was taken aback by what Callista had just said. Gritting her teeth, she choked up and sobbed, "Go ahead, then. Hit me. You can do whatever you want to Laura, as you're not angry at Kal. This is the perfect opportunity for Mr. Callum to see just how vicious Callista really is. Remember what you said." Callista smiled and took a slight breath before delivering another slap. "This slap is meant to tell you to watch your words in the future. My mother only had me, so I don't have siblings, nor do I have friends like you any." Callista was ill and lacking strength, but a slap to the face was an utter humiliation. Everything Mirabelle endured today, she would surely repay in kind. Mirabelle's face was knocked askew, and beneath her bangs, her eyes were filled with a tangible murderous intent. but when she turned back, she went back to putting on a pitiful look. Callista couldn't help but laugh, and without holding back, she slapped Mirabelle again. "This slap is the interest I'm returning for all the things you've done to me." Regardless of whether she had been drugged or later framed and betrayed, Callista had long since wanted to slap her. She had absolutely no tolerance for women with ulterior motives, and often thought of putting an end to them. The sorrow she had just experienced must have been an illusion, for now, she felt extremely elated. After three slaps, Mirabelle was finding it hard to bear. At that moment, she wished that Callum would intervene, yet, Callum didn't even utter a single word. Drained of all energy, Callista no longer continued hitting her. She figured she could settle the scores with Mirabelle in the future. At that moment, Callista couldn't bear to stick around for even a second longer. Callista removed her thumb ring and let out a scoff as she said, "I'm done with this man. You don't need to settle for less or feel compelled to steal your good friend's man either. I wish you all the best, may all your desires be fulfilled, and may you enjoy a harmonious relationship." Mirabelle's gaze was fixated on the thumb ring in her hand, a flicker of obsession flashing deep within her eyes. Only by possessing it could she truly become the lady of the house in the Fairchild Manor. She had assumed that Callista was going to hand it over to her, so she reached out to accept it. But the very next moment, Callista ruthlessly smashed it onto the ground. Instantly, the thumb ring shattered into pieces. In the shimmer of shattered pieces, all illusions of affection Callista once held were broken. As for the humiliation and shame she endured, she still remembered them vividly. "If I can't have something, then no one else can." Callum hadn't anticipated that Callista would actually smash the thumb ring. His original plan was to give her the ring and have the Fairchild family adopt her as an goddaughter, which would ensure her an easy life. However, she had smashed it into pieces. This indicated her utter disdain for him and her hatred toward him. Although this was what he had initially hoped for, a bitter taste still filled his throat. It was as if a massive hole had been torn in his heart, leaving him unable to find peace even in death. And Callista emerged, the path was clear. However, upon reaching the door, she was stopped by Paul. "Miss Stafford, you're completely drenched. You should change your clothes before you leave." Seemingly deaf to her surroundings, Callista continued to walk away swiftly, her expression gloomy. It was as if she would lose her sanity if she lingered for even a second longer. "Miss Stafford." Paul became frantic and instinctively stepped in front of Callista. "Miss Stafford, it's fine if you don't want to change your clothes, but where are you heading? May I accompany you?" Callista's gaze gradually shifted toward him. Under the gloomy sky, Paul surprisingly noticed a ring of blood, red color around the edges of Callista's ink, black pupils. "Step aside." Undeterred, Paul raised the clothes in his hands. "Miss Stafford, I still think you should." Callista took the clothes, only to immediately toss them on the ground. The rain instantly soaked them through. Taking advantage of Paul's shock, Callista stepped over the clothes and walked away. She didn't want to accept any more favors from the Fairchild family. The mere thought of her considering, in a moment of foolishness, to give Callum a chance, seemed utterly ludicrous to her. After covering some distance, Callista looked back. She cast a glance at the mansion that stretched over 5 kilometers behind her and let out a cold, mocking laugh. Under the gloomy rain, her doctor's uniform appeared starkly white, and her face was equally devoid of color. The Fairchild family. Callum. Ha, she turned her head and walked away without glancing back even once. The past felt like a dream to her, but now, that dream had shattered, and she was left with nothing but hatred. Truly, she had never felt more at peace than she did in that moment. She had no idea how long she had been walking when a car from the Fairchild family arrived. They insisted on giving her a ride and even offered her an umbrella, but Callista simply stood in the rain in the middle of the road. She wouldn't move unless the car left. After all, the rain wouldn't kill her. Chapter 116. Who else but you can protect her? Her stubbornness, which used to be deeply ingrained, was now fully exposed, making her even colder and tougher. It left everyone around her utterly helpless. Paul was at a loss and eventually let out a helpless sigh. Back when Miss Stafford had feelings for Mr. Callum, she was gentle and frail. However, in the face of Mr. Callum's disdain and the problems caused by others, she demonstrated unexpected resilience. I already knew right from the start that Miss Stafford had a tough side about her. While her edges had been dulled due to family circumstances, she was sharp at heart. It was this tenacity that allowed her to hold onto her affection for Mr. Callum for 11 years without wavering. Despite the oppression from her stepmother, she remained exceptionally bright, and her brilliance shone unmatched in the field of medicine. It's just a pity that Mr. Callum is on the brink of death. A glimmer of moisture appeared in Paul's eyes at the thought of that. Suddenly, a phone call came through. Paul wiped his eyes before answering the phone, only to be met with bad news from the very first sentence. Hurry back. Something happened to Mr. Callum. Understood. The driver instinctively turned the car around, a hint of bewilderment in his voice. How could something have happened to Mr. Callum? Wasn't it said that Mr. Callum had at least a month's time left? Paul remained silent as he had already figured out what was going on. At that moment, the Fairchild family was in a state of utter chaos. Suddenly, Callum began to vomit blood uncontrollably. Mirabelle was forcibly quarantined, and Callum rushed to the emergency room for immediate medical attention. In the midst of chaos, upon hearing Paul's return, Callum, with his eyes closed, grabbed hold of Paul's shirt. Callum mumbled weakly as he struggled to speak. Paul, feeling sympathetic, clasped his hand in return. Please don't worry, Mr. Callum. I've asked the driver to take Miss Stafford to the hospital. Upon hearing those words, Callum suddenly opened his eyes. His dark purple irises momentarily lost focus, before finally settling intently on Paul. You're lying, his voice was so hoarse that it was barely audible. Paul, left with no choice, admitted slash with a choked voice, Miss Stafford refused to get in the car. She wouldn't even take the umbrella we offered. She chose to walk in the rain before Paul could finish his words. Callum coughed up another mouthful of blood. With a single spurt of blood, the color drained dramatically from his face, making him look utterly exhausted. Get out. The sudden outburst from Sean startled everyone. His annoyance was evident as he pushed Sean had someone rush Callum into the emergency room, while simultaneously giving Paul a shove. "How could you be so blunt, Paul? Mr. Callum's condition is so critical that he could die if he can't pull through. Silas and Wanda are currently out seeking renowned doctors. If anything bad were to happen to Mr. Callum before their return, are you able to bear that responsibility?" After Callum was rushed into the emergency room, he was still unconsciously calling out to Callista. The doctor held his hand and lied by saying, "Don't worry, Mr. Callum. Ms. Stafford still cares for you. As long as you recover, you can be with her again." Callum's heart, however, seemed as if it had plunged into the darkest depths. "She won't care about me anymore. Even if I had revealed the truth to her, her feelings for me won't return. She's simply that resolute. She even smashed the ring I gave her." Upon seeing Callum's rapidly declining heartbeat, the doctors grew frantic. At this rate, Callum was certain to die. Suddenly, Quintus, who was on the edge of eagerness, carefully removed a chain from around Callum's neck. Hanging from the chain was a diamond ring. Lost Aria was known for its diamonds, and this pink diamond was the perfect engagement ring that Callum had found. His original plan was to propose as soon as he returned. He did not intend to drive Callista away and force her to dislike him. Quintus forcefully pressed the ring into Callum's hand and said repeatedly, "Mr. Callum, the thumb ring may be gone, but the wedding ring is still here. Weren't you planning to marry Ms. Callista? Only if you survive, can you be with her." Unconsciously, Callum clutched the ring tightly in his grasp. Only Callista had the power to make him willingly let go of it. Seeing that it was effective, Quintus quickly continued, "Mr. Callum, there's something I haven't told you, out of fear of causing you worry. The truth is, Uriah's abduction of Ms. Callista involved the Wilford family's schemes. The entire Wilford family are nothing but despicable villains. If you were to die, Ms. Callista would surely be tormented by Harvey and Sterling. Ms. Callista may be formidable, but can she stand against such a powerful family? Mr. Callum, can you bear to see her suffer? Who else but you can protect her?" Every time Quintus spoke, the beat of Callum's heart intensified. Eventually, his heartbeat gradually returned to normal. A nurse turned away to wipe her tears. Just how much affection must have been required for someone on the brink of death to fight for their life upon hearing their loved one was in danger? Upon seeing Callum's strong will to live, all the doctors breathed a sigh of relief. Some of them even found themselves drenched in sweat, but they couldn't stop now. This was only the first step, and they still had to save him. Quintus stepped back, his eyes reddening with worry as he anxiously watched over Callum. He knew that Callum would not dare to face death for ensuring a secure future for Callista. As long as he clung to life, there was hope. He was certain that Silas and the others would find a way to save Callum. Chapter 117. Awakening of the Spirit. Quintus gritted his teeth, turned around, and left the emergency room. He stripped off his protective clothing and dashed frantically outside. The heavy rain continued to pour, but it didn't matter. He was determined to find Callista and reveal everything to her. He wanted to tell her what Callum had done for her and inform her that Callum had not given up on her. Quintus wanted Callista to know that Callum was even willing to risk everything to save her. He wanted to let her know that Callum didn't intend to drive her away. He was merely afraid of infecting her, terrified of her dying, scared of breaking her heart. Mr. Callum had taken all the blame upon himself, yet the woman he adored despised him. "I cannot allow this." Mr. Callum had saved so many people and accomplished so much, so why is he tormented by physical and emotional pain in his final moments? This isn't fair. Unfortunately, Quintus couldn't find Callista even though he searched for a long time. Little did he know, Callista had run into an acquaintance. After walking for a while, Callista's extreme emotions gradually subsided. Her vision, previously clouded by emotions, slowly cleared up. As she looked up at the gloomy sky, she noticed that the rain had stopped. A luxury car pulled up beside her. She wasn't surprised at all when she saw that it was Jared. The agreement was to treat Ambrose once a month, and the time had already passed. Jared would seek her out immediately as soon as he knew she had come to. Not wanting to return empty-handed, he guessed where she might have gone and decided to intercept her on this road. His expression was incredibly complex, yet he didn't utter a word about Callista's deception to go to Lost Aria. He simply told her, "Get in the car." Callista nodded as she was also beginning to feel worn out. As the car sped away, leaving a trail of dust behind, she took some antipyretics inside the vehicle and started to rest her eyes. Upon reaching their destination, Callista intended to check on Ambrose. However, Jared forcefully kept her in the guest room. "Go to sleep. Do you want to spread your cold to Ambrose?" With a stern expression, he instructed someone to take Callista for a bath, then had her wrapped up in bed. After struggling a few times, Callista found herself unable to move and thus, resigned herself to sleep. However, her brows were slightly furrowed, as if she was plagued by endless worries. Word had reached Jared about Callum. It was said that Callum had treated Callista well before, but once Mirabelle returned, his affection seemed to have shifted back to the latter. Many were gossiping that Mirabelle was the true object of Callum's affection, and he was merely fooling around by entering a relationship with Callista. He initially didn't believe it, but seeing Callista's appearance today, he felt a mix of anger and a slight hint of joy, although he himself didn't even realize it. "Did Callum bully you?" Noticing that Callista seemed to have barely slept, Jared suddenly broke the silence. Beneath his glasses, his eyes were somewhat mischievous, glinting with an unexplainable light. Seeing that Callista did not respond, he asked again, "Do you want me to handle Mirabelle for you? You seem to really dislike her." He sat at the edge of the bed, leaning in just a tad closer as he continued, "Callum has changed his heart. Don't you want revenge?" Suddenly, Callista said with her eyes closed, "No, what?" Jared blinked in confusion. "Callum hasn't fallen out of love." Callista opened her eyes. If she had doubted his feelings before, it was no longer the case. Callum hadn't uttered a single word when she confronted Mirabelle earlier, which clearly showed that her suspicions were unfounded. Jared gave a light snort and asked, "You haven't given up on him, have you?" "No. It's precisely because I've given up that my wits have returned, allowing me to see things more clearly," Callista replied, her voice hoarse and tinged with a hint of coldness. Leaving aside all the messy speculations and speaking from facts, Callum wasn't the type to change his mind easily. This was evident from how he had disliked her till his last breath in his previous life. Once he made up his mind, he wouldn't change it. In Lost Aria, he had earnestly promised to marry her. The look in his eyes back then was undoubtedly sincere. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been swayed so easily. It seemed as though something had been different ever since she returned. Who was it that saved me? Why did Callum's attitude suddenly change? Why were there so few people in Fairchild Manor? Is it really possible that Callum didn't know I had arrived? Perhaps not. He knew, yet he put on a show for me, which was clearly aimed to push me away. So, aside from falling out of love, what other reason could there be that kept him from being with me? Threats from others. That's impossible. Even when overseas, Callum held a status second to none, let alone back in his home country. Disapproval from his parents. That's highly unlikely too. Silas holds Wanda in high regard, and Wanda is quite fond of me. The marriage arrangement was essentially set in stone due to Wanda's adamant insistence. Once all external factors are eliminated, only personal reasons remain. Under circumstances where Callum's feelings remain unchanged, only personal reasons could have prevented Callum from being with me. Jared felt somewhat annoyed when he saw that Callista was still defending Callum. He pulled up the blanket, covering Callista's mouth as he said, "Don't idealize men too much." With his power and influence, his heart could change in an instant. Mirabelle is no simple woman either. Everyone in Horrington says she's the perfect woman to marry, which just goes to show how cunning she can be. What kind of injury did Callum sustain? Callista asked without responding to his previous statement. To Jared, this was a clear display of Callista's deep affection, so much so that she was still worried about Callum at that time. He was upset, and his tone of voice only worsened. Chapter 118. Critical condition. I don't know, the Fairchild family has shut themselves away from visitors. Aside from Mirabelle, no one else has seen Callum himself. He bit out the name Mirabelle forcefully. In truth, he had no idea about the specifics of Callum's condition, but the fact that Callum didn't even go to the hospital indicated that his injuries weren't serious. As expected, even Jarrett was unaware. Coupled with the fact that the Fairchild family rejected visitors and the number of servants in the house dwindled, the answer became increasingly clear: Callum had contracted a perilous illness, which was likely contagious. Moreover, the fact that he put on such a performance in front of her clearly indicated that his condition might be incurable. He had suddenly returned from Lost Aria, a place notorious for its many infectious diseases. The most prevalent among them had been influenza T, which had already been eradicated. However, there was still another virus, a dangerous and highly contagious disease for which there was no known cure, the K virus. So it's the Curus? Callista felt like laughing but couldn't bring herself to. Callum had been fine in her previous life and had never once been diagnosed with the K virus. How could this happen? Callista couldn't help but recall the few months when Callum was injured in her previous life. He wasn't allowed any visitors then either. Perhaps Callum had also fallen ill in her previous life, but he had timely received an antibody injection, making him one of the few lucky ones to survive. That was why he had suddenly returned to the country, spending those few months recuperating at home. But why did he manage to survive in the previous life but not in this one? Did my presence trigger a butterfly effect? Callista had to admit that after moving on, she had become much more perceptive. She could easily analyze the details of situations, and her deductions were almost always accurate. With that thought in mind, she grew restless and sat up. For the first time since her rebirth, a sense of bewilderment filled her eyes. I had been tormented by the K virus for several years in my previous life. And in this life, it's Callum's turn? Jared, if someone was trapped because of you, and you were probably the only one in the world who could save them, would you? She asked. At first, Jared assumed that Callista was referring to Callum. However, he quickly dismissed this idea, considering there was hardly any issue Callista could resolve that the Fairchild family couldn't. His mood improved as he thought of that. He was more than willing to answer that question as long as it wasn't about Callum. It depends on whether this person is worth it or not. He might have been trapped because of you, but it's not like you asked him to do so. No one's forced to do what they don't want to, right? Plus, if saving him was going to be a hassle, you should naturally consider his worth. Jared's eyes beneath his glasses held a ruthless, icy glint as his lips curved into a cold smirk. Callista nodded in agreement. Yes. His worth. Dadan chisk had hanuendi unintel janaluku valum famant mesvi lose a part of herself. However, after that faint affection had been shattered, her resolve was strengthened, and she was aware of her current situation. She had always been hesitant to reveal her true abilities because she didn't have a powerful backing. If she were to take action, she could end up in the same predicament as her previous life. Jared's capabilities were sufficient within the country, but still slightly lacking. And Callum is indeed a suitable choice. She had the means to prolong his life. Moreover, it took the research center over 3 painstaking years to develop the K virus antiserum using her blood in her previous life. Therefore, she was the only person in this world who could save Callum. This time around, she wasn't going to save him for nothing. After all, the thumb ring was already smashed, and her status as a fiancé was nothing more than a title now. The deal they had discussed before could finally come into play. In a fleeting moment, a flurry of thoughts raced through Callista's mind. She could directly negotiate with Silas, becoming the adopted daughter of the Fairchild family. Since Callum believed that his end was near, he would certainly not refuse in order to leave her with a way out. Once she had a powerful backing, not only could she exact revenge with her own capabilities, but also alleviate the current dangerous situation. Looks like I'm still sticking to my original plan. The only difference is that this time, I will no longer waver. My nemesis is still alive. I can't afford to entertain irrelevant thoughts. Callista flashed a slight smile, an unwavering determination discernible in her gaze. Jared was perplexed when he saw his response bringing a smile to Callista's face. Instead of explaining, Callista simply said, "It's getting late. Let's prioritize treating Ambrose first. With me around, he'll recover in no time." Jared had wanted to stop Callista because she hadn't fully rested yet. However, seeing that she was in a good mood and her fever had subsided, he decided not to voice his concerns. Instead, he brought her to treat Ambrose's illness. Upon hearing the news of Callum's critical illness, Silas and Wanda, who were overseas, rushed back. Callum had already made it through the critical stage and was now recuperating. However, the recent episode had drastically shortened Callum's lifespan, which was originally expected to last another month. Sean didn't dare to lie. He told Silas the truth. Callum probably had less than a week to live. Callum. Upon hearing this, Wanda broke down in tears immediately. She and Silas were deeply in love, and Callum was their only son. The fact that they had to lose their child was unacceptable to her. 112 Silas roared. What happened? Callum was perfectly fine. How did he suddenly fall ill? Silas. Chapter 119. Propose a deal. His eyes were bloodshot as he questioned the people in the room. However, no one dared to answer. Callum had already imposed a gag order. When no one spoke up, Silas assumed that the virus just suddenly flared up. After all, the K-virus was unpredictable once it entered the human body. No one could foresee what might happen next. The only certainty was that no one infected had survived past a month. In order not to disturb Callum's rest, the couple could only check on him from outside the door before leaving to search for a cure. After they left, Callum opened his eyes. His deep purple irises, which seemed to be a lighter shade at that moment, appeared stunningly brilliant. He could no longer repay his parents for everything they did for him. Even without him, they could still lead a good life. However, it was different for Callista. Since Harvey and the Wolfords had set their sights on Callista, the best solution was to make Callista the Fairchild family's goddaughter. With the Fairchild family backing her, she was bound to lead a worry-free life. However, to Callum's surprise, Callista came the following evening. Callum was puzzled when he received the message. He hadn't seen Mirabelle again after yesterday. Did Callista notice something? He was torn, hoping Callista could notice his feelings yet at the same time didn't want her to know. However, oddly enough, Callista met Silas first. At that time, Silas was overwhelmed with responsibilities. Handing over the Fairchild group to his son had been the best decision. Callum was talented and intelligent, young but unstoppable. Under his leadership, the company's profits soared, injecting the family business with new life and vigor, which made Silas both satisfied and proud. But now, Silas found himself in a dire situation. Not only did he have to temporarily step back into Callum's role, but he also had to actively search for doctors who might save his son. Additionally, he needed to keep the family's predicament hidden from outsiders. There were so many tasks to manage that he wished he could split himself into several pieces to handle it all. When Callista requested to see him, he was initially quite annoyed. However, recalling some rumors that suggested his son might be fond of Callista, he frowned and reluctantly agreed to meet her. Silas was a serious and stoic man. Previously, he spent most of his time expanding his territory in Machia, so Callista rarely saw him. Stepping into the Fairchild Manor once again, Callista found herself much calmer and at peace. The subtle aggression she exuded made Silas, who had initially looked down on her, tone down his contempt. Silas scrutinized the girl who stepped gracefully into the residence. She wasn't like this before. Although she looks the same, the change in her demeanor is drastic. It's like two different people. Callum's living quarters had been declared off limits. Everyone exiting Callum's room had to be tested for the virus first before they were permitted to leave. Thus, it was only normal that Callista was forbidden from seeing Callum. However, Callista shook her head. "No, I came to see you. See me." Silas tensed up, his intimidating gaze boring into the girl. "What do you want from me?" Callista got straight to the point. "Is it true T. Callum contracted the K virus?" That one single sentence from her was nothing short of shocking. Silas' gaze hardened, and a man emerged from the shadows. Apparently, if necessary, Silas would not hesitate to silence Callista for good. "Who else knows about this matter?" Silas blurted out. Callista smiled, her eyes twinkling as she spoke with an air of unruffled calmness. "Oh, I figured that out myself. I came to this conclusion because I was also in Lost Aria when Callum was there. As of now, I'm the only one who knows about this." As soon as Callista finished speaking, she could feel the man lurking behind her draw closer. Yet, she remained unfazed, her gaze steadily fixed on Silas. "Also, I came specifically because of his illness," she said. "You're trying to threaten me with Callum's matter." Silas narrowed his eyes, a subtle hint of murderous exuding from him. His tone changed too as he tried to discern Callista's intentions. "Or, are you trying to blackmail me?" As his words trailed off, the man hidden in the shadows emerged behind Callista. She could sense the lurking danger, but instead of turning around, she shook her head nonchalantly, a half smile playing on her lips. "No, that's not it. I came here to propose a no-lose deal." Silas appeared uninterested as Callista heard the faint sound of a gun being cocked behind her. In the dimly lit room, every noise was crystal clear. Anyone timid or of weaker resolve would likely have been too terrified to speak coherently. But fear seemed to elude Callista. Despite knowing that a single misstep in her next words could result in her being shot, she didn't show a hint of trepidation. Her composure caused Silas to waver, prompting him to ask, "What kind of deal?" In reality, he didn't believe that Callista had anything that could sway him. Therefore, the man behind Callista didn't back down. His gun was already aimed at the back of Callista's head. After all, the K-virus matter was of utmost importance and could not be taken lightly. "I can prolong Callum's life. I'm using this to propose a deal." Callista dropped yet another bombshell. Chapter 120. The Perfect Opportunity. Upon hearing this, Silas was momentarily stunned, but he quickly regained his composure, his expression growing even more somber. "Young lady, who gave you the audacity to brag so shamelessly? The K-virus was a global conundrum. Numerous experts had been left stumped by it. How can Callista possibly do anything about it? She's only 18. Callista brushed away the non, existent dust from the hem of her skirt and chuckled lightly. People infected with the K virus would immediately develop a fever lasting 3 days. If they didn't die within that time, they would gradually experience brain atrophy, leading to paralysis of their limbs. Some individuals would even suffer from skin decay. The complications varied greatly depending on the individual's constitution, but they all shared one grim characteristic: none of them survived beyond a month. Silas remained silent upon realizing that Callista was well, versed in the K virus. Callista spoke again. "Whether I'm of any use depends on if I can prolong Callum's life. If I can't, it won't be too late for you to kill me. But if I can, I might be the only person in the world who can fully cure him. So why not let me try?" Upon reflection, Silas realized that things couldn't possibly get any worse than they already were. They had nothing more to lose. Moreover, Sean had mentioned that Callum had less than a week to live. All he needed was to keep Callista around for a week, and he would naturally find out whether she was lying or not. "If you agree, I'm willing to stay until I gain your trust," Callista suggested at the right moment. Her calmness kindled a sudden hope in Silas. After all, if she's not sure, she wouldn't have gambled with her life. "What do you want then?" asked Silas. Silas was well aware that the K virus was not easy to conquer. Callista had only mentioned prolonging Callum's life, not curing him. Therefore, her request probably wasn't to marry his son. Callista smiled with determination in her gaze as she declared, "If I could extend his lifespan and alleviate like his condition, I want you and the Fairchild family to accept me as your goddaughter, treating me your own." Silas widened his eyes as wrath surged in him. "This girl is so ambitious. She's after the Fairchild family's assets. She might have a method to prolong Callum's life, but that's likely just a gimmick. Her real aim is to become the Fairchild family's goddaughter. Once Callum is gone, her status will soar to new heights. If that's the case, she might not even want Callum to live." The tension in the air became palpable, the pressure mounting with each passing moment. Sensing Silas' thoughts, Callista spoke before he could. "We can establish an agreement. You would publicly acknowledge me as your goddaughter, but I wouldn't have any inheritance rights to the Fairchild family wealth. I've offended some powerful people / and need the Fairchild family's protection, that's all. If Callum were to die, our contract would be null and void, and I'd be at the Fairchild family's mercy. But as long as Callum lives, the Fairchild family would protect me. This arrangement wouldn't harm your family. After all, I wouldn't gamble with my own life." Balance, right then, Callista dropped another bombshell. "By the way, I was the one who conquered Influenza T. Since I was able to do that, do you think there's anyone else in this world more qualified to treat Callum than me?" She held her head high, an air of confidence radiating from within her, making her appear assertive. Tilting her chin slightly upward, even her smile looked intimidating. Silas had to admit he was convinced. He never expected this girl to be the one who conquered the influenza in Lost Aria. Callista had no reason to lie, for it would have been easily exposed. She came because she had the capability. Since that was the case, he was willing to take the risk and give her a chance. "All right. I agree to this deal. In fact, Callum only has a week left to live. As soon as Silas said that, the assassin behind Callista silently left. He let out a sigh and went on, "I'm not sure what happened. Everything was fine before this, but yesterday, Callum suddenly fell ill. He had a month left to live before his illness flared up, but now he only has a week. Are you still confident?" Hearing that, Callista narrowed her eyes and smiled. "In that case, it's the perfect opportunity for me to show you what I can do." Callum waited anxiously in his room, wondering why Callista had come. Why did she go straight to meet Dad? Could she have come to officially call off the engagement? This is the only possibility. A wry smile played at the corners of Callum's lips. "Well, this is, in fact, what I want." He thought that Callista would leave as soon as she met Silas, but surprisingly, she came to see him. The door swung open. Although Callum knew that Callista was coming, the moment he laid eyes on her, he instinctively held his breath. If the past Callista was like a rose with thorns all over, the current Callista seemed more like a sword. Her gaze itself was sharp and piercing. Compared to Mirabelle, who gave off an aura of grace and pure beauty when wearing a white dress, Callista looked extremely ruthless and cold in a white dress, striking such fear in one's heart that not even the faint smile on her face exuded any warmth whatsoever. It was uncanny how the same color could look so different on two women. The two looked at each other wordlessly. Suddenly, Callista cocked her head, staring at him curiously.